Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Gilbert blasts one down the right field line. Gone! Drew Gilbert! Not exactly hooked around the pesky pole. He didn't need to do that. And the Giants can feel like they're back in this game. It's 5-3.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
You want to know why I give Tony Vitello credit for Drew Gilbert? Because he did it in college, too. It's more history there.
That's this guy.
More Tony V wins. Same with Blade Tidwell, though. That's not looking as hot right now. Blade Tidwell got a...
He's going today, right?
He is going today, yes. He'll be on the mound against Patrick Sandoval of the Boston Red Sox.
Pablo's little brother?
I don't believe that there is a relation
there.
Why are
you so literal today?
I was playing along
with it. Tony Vitello is not AI.
Yeah, I am Tony Vitello. I am making the lineup card. I will put Cuckoo Gilbert in the leadoff spot and then Rafi in the two spot. That is the AI Tony Vitello. I don't know how that would
Cuckoo
be.
Cuckoo Gilbert? That's a Dan DeVoe nickname.
That is a Dan DeVoe
Sam's
nickname.
Sam's the only guy who's adopted it. I've run that out there and
no
nobody,
one else has bit
like,
it.
Nowhere.
Evan every now and then.
Oh, really? Okay, I can see. There you go. The two guys who you work with on weekends are the ones running with it. Maybe that's
choice.
We need to get some of these other hosts in here maybe to work with you on the weekends, Dan. That'll enlighten
you
them
know,
more
I
a little
bit. I actually thought I was really onto something, and I text FP Santangelo while he was doing a game.
Oh, really?
And I said, hey, you need to work in Cuckoo Gilbert.
What do you say?
I got like a ha-ha. And then,
a little ha-ha reaction or a ha-ha text?
Ha-ha text.
Okay, at least he gave you the ha-ha text,
well,
not
no,
just the
I
ha-ha
needed
reaction.
Incorporated on the air for
okay, at least
loud.
He sort of responded to you. You know, if he just gave you the ha-ha reaction,
oh,
that's
wait.
Just like...
Well, no, first he said, who is this?
Oh. I mean...
How did I feel?
Yeah, he says the same thing when I go up to him, so...
On know. Brand.
There you go. Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, Tony Vitello, AI or not, is coming back next year. We found that out last week, and that's what we're talking about here. And we're talking about what has to be different for Tony Vitello. That's the question. 888-957-9570. Because it can't be like this year again. Because, Dan, again, if it gets off to a slow start next year, Tony's not making it to the All-Star break. Like, we're not... And this is assuming we are having a full season. I'm going to stop saying that. So every time I mention next year, it's under the banner of that assumption. If we get off to another slow start next year and it looks like if next May looks like it does right now, yeah, we're ending this experiment before the All-Star break. Like this cannot keep continuing like this. I mean, Dan, they've lost 100 games once in the 140-year plus history of this organization, and they need to go 11-24 in these next 35 games. That's the right math. Yes, look at me mathing. To avoid doing that for a second time in franchise history. And I know 100 probably doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people. I do not want to see this team lose 100 games. There's just something that is just... There's just certain bottom benchmarks that you don't want to hit. And 100 losses for a baseball team, that's just hitting that kind of a low for some reason. It just doesn't sit with me well.
Like, it's just, I can't. It's just a number at the end of the day.
It is, but it's a number I don't like.
I know.
And but... Like, the threat of 100 losses, like, that is such a low to hit for this organization that, like, that just can't be accepted.
Listen, if it means that you're not going to shut down somebody like that of a Logan Webb, or you're trying to win 63 games because of the stigma, I would just look at this season is already obviously lost, and what this is from this point forward is about evaluation.
Yep.
It's about seeing who can stick with this team and help this team in the future, next year. Who is going to be your left fielder? Is Drew Gilbert your center fielder? You talked about Drew Gilbert. And more importantly, what about your pitching rotation? That's all this is about. I know what Adames can do. I know what Jung-Hoo Lee can do. Those guys are getting paid. So, yeah, fill out the remainder of the season. But I don't care if they lose 110 games. That means absolutely this season is – look at those playing, for crying out loud.
I mean, to your point, Dan, maybe this is the wake-up call they need to.
Look at the White Sox. White Sox lose 100 games every single year, and they're now battling for a playoff spot.
And we'll see how long that lasts for them this year as well.
Oh, come on. Believe in the Sox.
I will never believe in the White Sox. History has told me to never believe in the White Sox. I'm not a fan of the White Sox.
You know something we could get into? Because I do when I talk about the remainder of the season in all series. Two things I want to avoid. First of all, is bashing the Giants and saying that they suck. Yeah, we know that, all right? We're doing a show about the Giants. And also, just to get in line in the funeral march, okay, we know the season's done.
Everyone likes to be negative. It's all good.
If we could do something else, but when it comes to evaluating this baseball team, I'm not necessarily so concerned about 1-9. I think their lineup is pretty much it is who it is. Unless they can move one of the big three, we know who's coming back next year, right? Aside from left field, which seems to be a question mark.
They get to play that game again, yep.
You know, maybe catcher. Is it going to be Susak? Is it going to be, yeah, I think it's Susak for the most part. To me, the big question is pitching. You got to go spend money. You have money. Spend it on pitching. And secondly, when it comes to evaluation, at what point do you get to the end of the rope when it comes to all of these quote-unquote, at what point do your pitchers no longer become promising? At what point do you not talk about these young pitchers as being the future of this franchise? And of course, I'm talking about the Wizenhunts of the world. I'm talking about the Birdsongs of the world. I'm talking about these young pitchers, including the guy who's going today. At what point do you just simply say, it's never going to happen, Carson Wizenhunt? We need to cut bait sooner rather than later and move on to another iteration of potential pitchers that could be the future.
The answer to that question is going to be probably next spring training. So, Ian, you asked, you know, what are you looking for the rest of the year, Dan? And actually, it's funny you mentioned that in terms of what are you looking for? How do you determine whether or not a guy is part of the future or if he's just getting a tryout to let you know that he's not worth keeping around? I started keeping what I'm calling my arbitrary good game points counter.
Oh, the way this works, you're not.
I am very much. I have the paper right here. I'm going to show it off for the 14 people on YouTube. I'm shaking the mic so you can hear it. Basically, the way this works, I brought this up to Spadoni the other day. Anytime a player who is fighting for a roster spot next year has a good game, I give him a point. The more points you have, the better I feel about whether or not you should be on the team next year. So yesterday, he had a couple hits, made some pretty good defensive plays. I gave Christian Koss a good game point. So there you go. The leader in good game points right now, it's not a shock, it's Bryce Eldridge. I mean, pretty much any time he goes out on the field, he's probably going to have a good game, you would hope. So,
Bryce Eldridge!
You know who I added to the good game points list this week, Dan? Was one Matt Wilkinson. I gave him a good game point because, you know what? I thought he pitched pretty well in those two innings that he made his debut in on, what was it, Wednesday night, I believe. So, you know.
When did we get to talk tugboat?
We can talk tugboat right now if you want. I mean, we've talked about we've had so much fun with this list. Yeah, no, so that's the list right there. You know, there's lots of names on this list. Dan.
Oh, jeez.
You know who's not the guys who aren't on this list? Logan Webb because he's gonna be back next year. Rafi Devers is not on the list.
Yeah, no, it's all the fringe guys.
It's all the fringe kind of young guys. A guy who I add onto this list, Marcelo Mayer, was really hoping to give him a good game point this weekend. Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, why isn't he playing against the Sox?
We have Tony talked about that. Fellas in the back, I pulled it this morning. If you can grab Tony's pregame bit from last night, he spent a minute talking about Marcelo Mayer. It's already in the system, so if we want to just put it on the board there, Steven Rizzotto's teaching Vic how to do board stuff back there, and right now Victor's getting a crash course in how to handle being put on the spot by your host and while your host talks through that whole process so that he can get on the board. And that way we can hear from Tony right now.
Are you
talking about Marcelo Mayer?
So, Tony, what is going on with Marcelo Mayer?
He's got some soreness in his foot, something that he had prior and just aggravated a little bit from being back out there every day. So he's in FS, just going to take the weekend off and then kind of reassess things from there.
Would he have to go back and rehab more?
I wouldn't expect it, but it's hard to know. Take a look this weekend and then kind of go from there.
Are you hopeful for the homestand?
We'll see. I mean, hopeful in general just to get to be around him more than anything. We got a lot of time around him the first few days he was with us, and I think at this point it's like a speed up on the relationship as much as anything. So wherever he's at, the more time we get around him, the better.
How much do you like the idea of him working with Wash too? Being
a ton, yeah. And I think ideally for him is to settle in at one spot. The personnel circumstances, like Casey's case, it may not dictate that, but settling in at one spot and master it the way Louie did would be pretty fun to watch.
Mine originally, or the hope, was that he could play against Boston.
I think he wanted to play here, but that was more his ambition. I don't think it was ever kind of on the calendar for us. You don't ever want to cut anything too short or set your sights too far down the road, but in order to kind of make the progression he needed to, I think it was a little unrealistic.
God, AI, man. So AI.
You know, I will say this one thing that kind of irritates me about that whole thing is Tony last weekend did say that Mayer could be available as early as Thursday against Cleveland before pushing him back to Boston. But it's kind of been a theme throughout the year. It's just the timetables of guys returning always getting pushed back. That's something that I think needs to be cleaned up next year. That's a minor thing, but again, it's one of the many things that Tony needs to clean up if he's going to make the most of the second chance he's given next year.
Can you be Alex Pavlovich or Susan Slesser for a second and just I'll be Tony Vitello? And I'll just, what I would like to see just one single time so I know that the dude is legitimately human, just ask me a question. One of those questions that I just asked.
Hi, Tony. My name is Steven Rizzotto. I'm a reporter for 95.7 The Game. When do you expect to see Marcelo Mayer on the field?
Well, first of all, if you ever do another impression of me there, Rizzotto, I've heard about you. By the way, Rizzotto, we're going to see you on TV again today during the crossover. I'm your agent. I got Rizzotto doing the crossover. No, what I would like to hear, give me the question again. I was trying to be funny.
When do you expect to see Marcelo Mayer on the field?
I want to see Marcelo as much as everybody else. It's just about his injuries. But he's going to be back as soon as we can get him in a uniform. And he wanted to play in Boston. I get that. But hey, Marcelo, you know, it's just not going to
see. That sounds like an AI script.
No, that sounds
a little like an AI script.
I am AI.
I feel like if I made an AI video, you know, have Tony Vitello answer this question, that's kind of what it would sound like.
I know we wanted to come back here, and sometimes ambition can be. Come on, man. Say something off
the. Tony, why don't you take Adamas out of the lineup and shut him down for the rest of the year?
Oh, is that directed
at me? I think you're the one playing Tony Vitello now.
No, I'm done playing Tony Vitello.
We're done playing role play.
Yeah, no more role playing.
I think, again, if you want to play that game, you know, what would he say? Again, it's. Yeah, we know Willie right now, we love that he wants to be out here, but if the best thing for him is to maybe take some time off and give that back a rest, we can have him be right at the end of the year, or he could finish the season strong, or better yet, be healthy going into next year. That's obviously the situation we would want for him. Is that more or less kind of...
You could be Tony Vitello.
Yeah, there you go.
You could program Tony Vitello.
You know, it's almost like I've been listening to him for a lot of the year, so you pick up on some things there. That was the thing when he came up, was that he says things that just kind of make you scratch your head sometimes, and he's living up to that scouting report. You say you want to see who he is, but this is just who he is, and we're criticizing in his AI.
There's got to be some signs of just something that's off the cuff or a little bit more real, man.
Show me you care!
Or get pissed. Yeah, do that. Toss the post-game meal.
Well, I'll say this. Last Sunday was the most pissed I've seen him all year. And I think Willard and Dibbs were talking about this early in the week. Willard, I think, said at Rizzotto, he thinks that Tony's flipped the spread already this year. We just don't know about it. Was that Willard who said that?
He said that he knows for a fact. I don't know. I don't know his sourcing. I assume he does have some. I know he has some. Mm-hmm. But he said he knows for a fact that Tony has flipped the spread.
So the streets are talking. A spread has been flipped. And I'll say this is actually one thing I do kind of appreciate with Tony, Dan, is I do think there is something to be said about not airing out all the dirty laundry. And by that, I mean the fact that he's come in every day, and I know that this season's ripping him to shreds, not because of how we in the media are doing it, but him internally as a competitor, how he is feeling. He has done an incredible job. And I'll just speak to us with the media, and I know everyone out there cares about how the media is treated these days. It's a big sticking point. He has been such a great job being the same, you might not like this word, affable human being when interacting with us on a daily basis in a year that has been just an absolute poop show from top to bottom for this guy. He's never once snapped at anybody. Like, I remember one time Gabe Kapler went after Danny Emmerman for asking one too many Austin Slater pinch hitting questions. I remember last year, Bob Melvin almost broke character, or no, a couple years ago, Bob Melvin almost broke character asking too many questions about Austin Slater. Maybe that's the thing. Tony Vitello just doesn't have to answer questions about Austin Slater. But I've seen the last two managers kind of get snippy and tense at times. Tony's been the same guy through all the lows and whatever high may have happened this year. And you know the old phrase, don't get too high with the highs, too lows with the lows. I do commend Tony for being able to go out and be the same guy, whatever he has been every day. Has it been the guy that maybe he wants to be? I don't think so. But he's kept a straight face through all the chaos here. He's made it seem like it's not as disastrous as we all know it is. I'm not saying that he's fooling anybody, but I do think there's something to be said about a skipper keeping a straight face through the storm. I do commend Tony for being able to do that. But when he came into the interview room last Sunday, you could see it. Like, that was the most, like, the facade was not broken, but you could see cracks in the facade with how mad and frustrated and upset he was with that situation. You could hear it in his voice when he talked about how, you know, fans paid to see that. You heard a slight break in his voice on that. Like, he was really upset with what fans had to deal with last weekend against the Rockies in that series. So, you know, I get the whole he's staying the same thing. A part of me does appreciate that. I have seen cracks, though, in that. I don't know. Do you want to see a public blow up? I don't think that would help him at all. If he came in and did a whole, you know, I'm a man, I'm 47. You know, you want to talk about playoffs and just go through all the crazed rants that people have done in the past. Is that really a benefit for him? Are we really coming out? Are some people like, yeah, fire. Love to see that.
No, I
but yeah, no one's being like, yep, there we go. That's the guy. No, that does nothing for anybody right now.
No, and I'm not asking him to do that. And I'm with you. I sort of appreciate the fact that he's been really cordial with the media, but maybe I think that'll change the more comfortable he becomes. And he may take shots at guys next year. I just wanted to see him be a little bit more real. Just to whoever the hell he is, and I don't know. I mean,
how's he supposed to be real in a season
know,
like this,
man,
though, Dan?
Show some. Maybe if he did choose somebody out, I could say, okay, well, that's...
And maybe that's a thing that, going into next year, a new tone he's going to have to set. And again, why wait till now? What can you do between now and the end of the season to start riding the ship? I don't know, Dave Fleming on the Morning Roast earlier this week. You tell me.
You know, Jung-Hoo Lee took yesterday off. And Gilbert played against a left-hander, which isn't ideal based on the numbers. But I think, you know, Tony's has decided that from now through the end of the year, the playing time is going to be distributed a little differently. And it's mostly because of, hey, let's just give opportunity to everybody at this point. You know, sort of spread those at-bats around, not be so matchup dependent when the wins and losses aren't maybe the number one thing anymore. It's hard to say. You never want to say that, but that's the point the Giants are at. So I think that is one thing that could happen from now till the end of the year. And I think, you know, I still think, like I've said it to you guys all season, like with players, like the beauty of baseball, it can be painful when you got to get to the finish line in a season like this. But the beauty is you still have 35 games or whatever left, and that's 35 games for Gilbert, for Cox, for Eldridge.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For Tugboat, for Wizenhunt, for Tidwell, for all these guys, like those are very valuable opportunities for those guys. And maybe you would say the same about the manager. Like maybe just the fact of being around the group, getting to know everybody even more is valuable from here till the end of the year.
So more playing time for guys who need it. You know, maybe not worrying about wins as much.
Can we not hear from Fleming anymore?
Oh, we're going to be hearing from Fleming again. Don't you worry. You really don't like what Fleming has to say.
No,
on this,
occasionally. It's just his bites are beginning to, like, now he's not saying anything. He's giving
me. Unfortunately, he's been the only Giants voice we have on the station during the week these days. There's another team in the area. The 49ers starting to take up a lot of airtime here. So that's why you're hearing a lot of Dave Fleming there. But to his point, though, Dan. That's what these next few weeks are all about. What are the guys of tomorrow going to do today? And what can Tony do now to, I guess, set a new tone going into next year? And then spring training is going to be really so key for Tony in terms of building out this culture 2.0 that the Giants are trying to get with him here. And again, you want to hear from Dave Fleming. Here's what Dave said about how about that spring training energy and how they can recapture it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you want to recreate that. I mean, I think the Giants, you're right about that. There was a really good vibe in spring training. There was a lot of optimism, and you want to recreate that. You don't want, it's not like you want to go to spring and like, let's be edgy and pissed off at each other and let's leave spring training feeling like we're no good. Like, you don't want that. You want what happened. It just, you know, the beginning of the season went so terribly, starting with that first week. You know, the first week was just such a downer when the Yankees came in, and it did take, I think it took a lot of the juice out of all that feeling that had been built up. It sounds silly to say it's only three games over 162, but I think when you look back on it, that first weekend damaged this team quite a bit.
I wonder how much, if Tony could redo that first 3 weeks again, I wonder what he would do differently. Let's hear what Dave Fleming has to say now. I do have Fleming on Tugboat.
No,
you're going to have to hear it, Dan. That's the rules.
Let's get Tugboat.
That's the rules.
Going.
So let's get Christian Palo Alto first. He's got some thoughts on the Giants. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text. Christian, how you doing, man? You're on the wrap.
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wanted to talk, because I'm a lifelong Giants fan, you know. I just wanted to talk about kind of the way players are presented by the media to Giants fans. Like, I feel like the players we've got and we're told are, like, superstars. They just, if you look at a real, like, heavy-hitting team like the Dodgers or the Yankees, pretty much none of them would crack the starting lineup. And even, like, yeah, for example, a guy like Matt Chapman, you know, we're told we're supposed to be building around Matt Chapman, or like building around Willie Adames. And none of these guys really would have a place on a top team, in like a top contender team. And I just wonder, like the Lamont Wade Juniors of the world, the Yastrzemskis of the world, and I just feel like it's more marketing than baseball. You know, I feel like, and then we get a guy like Luis Arraez, who's clearly, you know, probably was our best offensive hitter. And then we've got everyone talking about like his defense. And honestly, who cares about, I mean, he's a great defender now, but like, that just seems so aside the point. And I feel like people were just gearing up to like, let him go, so don't want to build him up too much. And then now we're talking about like Tony Vitello's personality. But let's be real, like if Tony Vitello had like Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, and like Tarek Skubal, we'd be a good team. And then There's obvious gaps like the lack of relief pitching. I did the math last year. We were 15 games back from the Dodgers. Pretty awful season. And then if you just look at Camilo and Ryan Walker alone combined for 15 blown saves. Yeah. And then I'm a Giants fan. I'm not used to seeing, like, I'm not used to going into the ninth inning and just knowing, like, with a lead of two or three runs and just knowing it's not enough.
Yeah.
And then you just see, like, walks, singles, doubles. And I just turn the TV off. I just know it's not going to go well.
Yeah. Thanks for that call there, Christian. To answer the first half of that question, yeah, we probably do overhype our own. I think every team does that, though. Like, you know, the Royals are hyping up guys aside from Bobby Witt Jr. You know, who else is bad this year, right? I mean, the Rockies are hyping up guys on their team as big. I mean, every team does that. I will say this. I feel like if you could truth serum the Giants right now and ask them, do you really want to build around Chapman, Adames, and Devers? I have a hunch that they would say no. No, they would not want to be building around them. A while ago, yes. I think that answer has changed to a no, though. But unfortunately, it'll be a fun project for them to get into this offseason in terms of how they move off of at least one of those deals.
Yeah, I think that's how you assess this offseason. It's who you're going to get in terms of bolstering your pen and your rotation, and which of those three can you move off of?
And I'd be honest, Dan, I still think right now you're not moving any of them.
Well,
I think that's a reality that sucks. And the Giants are simply just going to have to figure it out.
If there's a will, there's a way. If Buster Posey is really good, Buster Posey will cut his losses and get rid of one of those guys, if not two of them.
Listen, I will be the first one to make the case that they should do this. eat the entire contract of Willy Adames if you have to. Do you want to do that? No. Is that bad baseball business? Absolutely. But me not having any, you know, I'm not, it wouldn't affect me negatively. So that would be my thing. But again, this goes into the whole.
I'd rather see Devers go before Adames.
It's got to be one. We can get into that a little bit on the other side. You want to talk about Tugboat? You're going to want to hear what Dave Fleming had to say about Tugboat Wilkinson.
I can't wait.
And then we'll hear what Dylan Smith said about Tugboat, too, because, you know, we had Dylan Smith on. I want to play some of that sound as well. Tugboat, let's talk about him on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7. The Game.
We're going to talk about Tugboat in a little bit, but Steve Rizzotto said he pulled two different calls of the same home run last night, and I kind of want to hear them back to back. Oh, we have the one. Don't we have the? This is a great setup here. So,
another excuse for Fleming to make our airwaves.
Oh, we'll be hearing from two Flemings actually here. So, William Contreras hit that big home run over the monster last night.
Do you think he got a hold of that one?
I think he did. Which one do you think got a hold of more, William Contreras on that one off of Logan, or the one that Joe Adell planted in the seats against Carson Wisenhunt?
I think Contreras. Man, you talk about getting
both
all
of those. The Joe Adell, he fouled the ball off his knee, and then while he's got a fat welt coming in on his knee, he steps in and just absolutely crushes one into the left field seats, 455 feet. That was just absolutely nuked, like he was the natural or something. So here is the Will Fleming. Do we not have the Dave Fleming call of this? All right, so Rizzotto's getting it there. So you are going to hear from a Fleming, Dan, and this one's going to be Will Fleming calling that William Contreras home run.
1-0, but first and third with two down. Contreras waits the pitch. He is swung on and driven way back. Wilson! On the Lansdowne! Three-run homer! His 26th! He got him, and it's 3-1 Red Sox!
Wow, sorry. Wilson Contreras said William there. My bad on that one. So, wow, a lot of fun and energy on that one. That's the call of a man who's called a lot of good baseball this year. You can hear that there. So I guess we'll hear the Dave Fleming version of that in just a moment. The Dave Fleming version of that probably not as fun and exciting as Will Fleming made that there. So, but you want to talk about Tugboat. You want to talk about something fun.
Let's go, Tug!
Let's have some fun. Let's talk about the one good thing that happened this week in the debut of one Matt Tugboat. Wilkinson again went two innings, struck out the one batter, I believe, in his debut on Wednesday. Yeah, Dan, just what was your first impressions of Tugboat making his debut?
Well, we were talking about this. When I hear about a guy that big, and he reminded me of David Wells, and that from the left side of the bump, I'm thinking this dude's going to come with pure gas, not knowing a lot about Tug Wilkinson, and I haven't seen him play Tugboat ever before, and so this is like a lot of people, I'm like, come on, man, big fella, let's go, let's bring it, let's see some gas and triple digits. And he's a pitcher, man. He just, you know, he's got a four-seam rise, he works the corners, and he's a guy that doesn't let you barrel up. I was sort of surprised. I thought when you hear the name Tugboat and you see his size, you think he's just going to simply overpower people, but that's not the case. But he was effective, and right on, man. I love big dudes like that. I love dudes that are identifiable, man. I like the big fellas. Give me the Cecil Fielders of the world. Give me guys like that that are just big, lovable. I don't know how lovable he is, but
we'll see how lovable.
And then his parents in the stands, right? Yes. Real people, for crying out loud.
You're just so
damn in time.
You're just so in on this real versus AI people today.
I am AI.
Yeah, you're just really on top of that today.
What's the over and under? What's the record for how many drops you're going to play of the same guy? Steiny, that's about his 15th appearance on the show today.
No, there's a part of him that will never die. That's another Steiny line there. Two innings for Wilkinson, one hit allowed, not a strikeout there. But what I love about Matt Wilkinson, aside from that just complete aura that he has with that gut hanging out there on the hill. And, you know, you mentioned David Wells, other great guts, CeCe Sabathia, Bartolo Colon. Those are two other just all-time great guts that pitchers have had. I love it. Just really going with the high fastballs there. And that 90-mile-an-hour fastball, when you see it at first, And this is what I love about Matt Wilkinson. Like, the dude is just, he's a pitcher. Like, he pitches. A lot of guys, it's all about max effort, blowing guys away. This is a guy who pitches. And, you know, it's easy to look at that 90-mile-an-hour fastball and be like, well, what the heck? What do you, that's going to get crushed. And we've seen that. Carson Wisenhunt, for example, has a low 90s fastball that just gets whacked almost every single outing. And the reason is because Wisenhunt doesn't really locate it all that well. Wilkinson absolutely was locating that fastball. He was living that bad boy at the top third of the strike zone. And that is a very difficult spot for hitters to see. The low part of the zone, hitters can see. That upper part of the zone, though, it could be very, very tricky. And the way Wilkinson throws the ball, his delivery, his release point, it can make that fastball play up a little bit more. And that makes it even more troublesome for hitters to deal with. So, again, two innings. I don't know what his role is going to be, starter, reliever, something else. But the two innings we saw, the way he was able to locate that fastball, paint that upper edge of the zone, and all that cutter he had to get Petey Halpin to end it, that looked beautiful as well. The only cutter he threw all day. But, yeah, very, very positive development there for the Giants in a season of darkness and misery.
He reminded me of Shane Gillis for some reason. Do you know Shane Gillis?
Yeah, the comedian.
Yeah.
I could see Shane Gillis playing a Matt Wilkinson in a sketch.
You know, I have a guilty pleasure. I have to admit, I watch Tires. I don't know if you do. And I'm too old to be laughing at that humor. I'm not into
Wait, say it again. You wash Tires?
Watched his show Tires.
Oh, okay.
It's a series. It's a streaming series.
I've only seen bits and pieces
Netflix.
Of his stand-up.
It's
I've never actually
so
watched the show.
It's so bro humor. It's Dave Portnoy.
There you go.
It's,
that's why.
It's yeah, it's Joe Rogan. It's bro. I laugh out loud when I watch.
Sounds
show.
Like a great way to just fry your brain cells. But again, just, I say that as a guy who watched Two and a Half Men. So
I mean, I watched that and I literally laugh out loud hard, and I shouldn't admit that publicly.
Like, is it actually like, are you laughing because it's funny, or are you laughing because it's just like, this is just ridiculous?
It's funny to me, which again, it's the sort of thing that I did when I was in high school or in college, but I guess there's a part of me that just hasn't grown up, and it's sort of embarrassing to admit that, but I'm a Tires guy. Now, I like everything that you just laid out, but I love the fact that he's got a little character. He's got a little, he's a tugboat, for crying out loud. I like the big fellas. Thank you. I did say that. I'm on record as saying
that. There you go. All right, let's play out for the next
six. That's the best drop you've had for the last 2 years there, Pasta.
All right there, Vic. I need you to play that 16 more times in the next hour and 20 minutes here.
So I like the big fellas. Thank you.
I'm already not liking that one.
Play Steiny. The hell with Steiny. He gets enough run during the week.
But yeah, again, you like the big fellas. That's good too. I like the fellas who get outs too, while also being big fellas. And that's also what stuck out to me with one Matt Wilkinson. I'll be honest, Dan, we were making a lot of hubbub, as my headphones go out here, of his first start. And I do kind of have to wonder, if he didn't have the nickname, we'd be making as big of a deal about Wilkinson.
No. The nickname is everything, I think, and it's sort of fast-tracked into the major leagues, but I think it's created expectations, but so be it.
Like, I mean, we were, you know, playing the tugboat toot-toot on the show that morning, the Giants pre- and post-game show on NBC, they were doing it. I think Kyle and Sergio were hosting this week, and they were, you know, blasting the toot-toot on their pre-game show, and you know what? Hey, thank God he came out and pitched well, because that would have been deflating. if he didn't do it. But I don't know what you do with him, though. Is he a starter? Is he a reliever?
Starter.
He is? But then
hell
why,
yes.
But why did he only go two innings then?
Well, I think he was just under a pitch count. Like they just.
But why? He went 100 pitches.
I know.
I'm asking you questions, I feel like. I feel like you're. Yeah. Come on,
you
Tony. Come on, Tony DeVone. Answer
well,
these
yeah,
questions for
I,
me.
If I was to be the real Tony, I'd say, because the big fella, he's hungry, man. I don't know. We got to get him,
I want to hear Tony say that. Yeah, the big fella, he's really hungry out there.
Like the big fellas.
Thank you. Because I'm plotting my revenge.
No, I think he was, I heard a lot of pushback. It was like, why was he only out there for two innings? I think that's sort of beyond our pay grade, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. He's under pitch count.
You want to hear from Tugboat?
Anybody but Fleming.
Well, you're going to hear from Fleming again at some point. But here's to Matt Wilkinson, his full post game on Wednesday night. And yeah, get to know Tugboat Wilkinson, how he sounds.
How would you describe the emotions of making your big league debut?
That was cool. Definitely a long-awaited moment, and happy it could happen here, of all places. But Yeah, happy to get that one under my belt, and hopefully more to come.
Could you see your family on the stands? And it looked like you had a whole ship's worth of people behind him there.
Yeah, I could see. I noticed them after the second. But it's cool to have their support and family and friends be able to come out. And so can't really complain about that whatsoever.
Some of your old teammates, like going back to T-ball, were out there?
Yeah, a lot of friends, some of my closest friends still to this day. So, it's cool to have them here.
Friends show up with captain's hats?
No, I guess back in Lake County, back here in Cleveland, but that was probably about it. No, I haven't seen that since.
You probably envisioned, making your debut in this ballpark, but, did you have to check yourself just to say, hey, I'm not wearing a Cleveland uniform?
After the trade, obviously, yeah, it was definitely different, but the mindset flipped to Oracle, but it's kind of a cool story that I do get to have my debut here, after especially being 3 years with them and stuff like that. So grateful that it was here, and I'm just excited to keep going.
Did you kind of know coming into it that you were going to do maybe two innings and then give way to Hauser, or what was your kind of sense of what the plan was?
No idea. I just thought I got the first and then go from there. No complaints. Helped the team win at the end of the day. Even though it was a small part, kind of just want to help the team win as much as I can. So doesn't matter how I do it, which role I have, I'm just happy to be here.
It looked like a couple times you were kind of shaking your head, like maybe you weren't happy with the pitch location or something. Were you nitpicking a little bit with your...
Just falling behind every count. Okay. I'm pretty picky about how I pitch, so just little stuff like that to keep me fired up and stuff like that. But other than that, no.
You obviously came up with a bunch of those guys in that lineup. Just what was it like facing, Bizana and Angel Hanau?
Yeah, it's cool. I've been playing with Angel Hanau since low A and rookie ball, so it's definitely cool to... share a big league field with him, and obviously we're not on the same team, but Bizana as well, especially Parker Messick too. A lot of people don't know this, but ever since we came up, someone I look up to a lot and kind of try and pitch like him in certain ways. So, it was cool to face off against him and stuff like that, but just happy to get this one over with and move on to the next.
These guys have endured a really tough year, a lot of down moments. Could you kind of sense at all that maybe the lift that you were able to give them today?
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just strike one, trying to help the team win. Didn't really think about that. Just whatever I can do to help the team win.
There you go. You heard from...
it was about three questions too long.
So now we're tiring on Wilkinson already, just like that.
I like the big fellas.
Oh, apparently, only 2 minutes, though. After 2 minutes, though.
Is there any way, Sam, this is your job next week? You got to be ultra-sensitive when you do this. But does he embrace his girth or his... sort of like his size?
Is you it... like being fat, Matt?
No, I'm not saying going there, but there's some way that you can,
God.
Because if you open that up, then we get into a whole... Now there's a conversation I want to hear. Like that, we all know he's Tugboat. We know he's a big guy, but everyone's dancing around.
Well,
you're the one guy in the media corps that covers the San Francisco Giants that can ask the question we all want to hear.
Do you embrace the girth?
Same. I don't know how you phrase it.
I got a phrase. I don't even know if I want to ask a grown man, do you embrace the girth?
Not that specifically. I'm
you
just saying.
Be careful.
Have you ever thought about a change?
No, jeez. I'm just saying, is there.
What?
You could probably say, you're obviously one of the bigger guys.
Have you ever dressed as David Wells for Halloween?
You're one of the bigger guys on the team. Is your. Is your size, you start there. Yeah. It's like your size prevent you or provide stamina as you get later in the innings or something you think about. And then when he talks about, the minute he opens that door about his size, now you can incrementally get into, how old were you when you sort of had your, and then he starts maybe talked about food he likes. And then now, come on, big guy.
Get his favorite burrito spots.
Every night? I want to know.
He has been on record. I think you either heard this from Fleming or from someone else, and you're going to hear from Fleming in a minute just because I'm going to torture you with that now. I guess when he was in Little League, one of the coaches called him Tugboat because when he's running around, chugging around the bases, he's looking like a little tugboat there, and He just rolled with it. So you see that they replayed his some of the highlights from his Little League World Series appearance where he struck out 16 guys in a start, and they lost 1-0. Yeah, he was destined to be a Giant, and if that was his,
I just love this family, man. I told you this during the break. Usually, when you have a major league player that makes their debut, either with a base hit or a strikeout, and they show mom and dad, they're just like mom and dad right out of like central casting.
Like
dad
AI casting.
Looks like the perfect former athlete, broad shoulders, Lululemon sweatsuit. Mom is like, you know, she was the homecoming queen. And then he has a really attractive girlfriend or wife that's in the stands. Those people that I saw that belong to the Wilkinsons are identifiable and real. I would talk to those people. I would hang with those people. I want to be a Wilkinson.
Go to their family reunion barbecue.
I want to be part of the Wilkinson.
You know they're eating good at the Wilkinsons.
Wilkinson tribe. Like that Wilkinson and his family, hell yeah. If you got one thing to look forward to in Giant games going forward is Wilkinson and then cutaways of his family.
Yep.
Hey, they're invited to the Dolphin Club.
You go swimming with Matt Wilkinson?
If he's a tugboat, hell yeah.
He can tug you to the shore. Tony Vitello, what can you say about the lightness that tugboat brought to the team?
Tony Vitello.
A couple infielders, I grabbed them, and I was like, you guys, I was joking, you know, are y'all locked in? So I think causing conversation out of me, other players, guys cheering for him, you alluded to it in the dugout. It's, you know, for every team this late in the year, you're looking for something to separate one day from the next. For us, we're looking for positive vibes. We haven't created enough on our own. But at the same time, when you can get it from maybe something external or something new and refreshing, it's helpful. And that was very much all that.
Tony, you got to embrace that fun.
He's not alive. He is not a person.
Well, how could he be alive at this point, Dan? How could he be happy? He's lost a billion baseball games.
Tony Vitello has been created. That's AI. He's been programmed.
That is a man who has just been broken down by this season, is trying so hard not to snap.
He's the product of four nerds in somebody's basement. That is not a human being.
I think there's one thing you cannot say about Tony Vitello is that he was developed by nerds. That one I feel pretty
comfortable. I'm calling Pablo Torre.
Really? All right, you get Pablo in on this?
Investigative piece on this.
Hey, you know what? He debunked the substation. Maybe he can debunk Tony AI as Chat T-O-N-Y. That's what you can call it.
Do you know the role of a tugboat, by the way?
Well, it's to get the giant tanker ships into the bay because, you know, sailing these big old ships on the ocean is not the same as sailing them in the bay. So the tugboats kind of guide the ships to the dock so they can get unloaded by those giant
cranes.
I'm curious,
so do they turn off all their propulsion at that point and then at the mercy of the tugboat? The tugboat obviously navigates them in tight spaces and takes them to the port, but do they, if you're a boat, that to your point, like you got to be doing a certain number of knots in the ocean. Once you get within the bay, within the bridge, which constitutes now the bay, you're sort of in this limited space, that now you're at the mercy of the tugboat. So do you turn off all the quote-unquote engines?
Well, diving into my experience of driving these giant oil tankers, I would say that I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I've never done that before.
I don't know why I asked you as though you
Can we ask AI that? Do the ships turn their engines off? I would assume so.
You like the way I approach you with that question as though you
like,
were
hey, Sam,
seasoned.
You're a seasoned captain of the... I'm probably as capable of... I think Tony is more capable of... captaining the Giants than I am at captaining one of these giant oil tankers that a tugboat would bring into port. But no, I feel proud of myself for at least knowing what a tugboat's good for.
Yeah, we should all familiarize ourselves with what a tugboat is.
No, it is. When I was a kid, I watched the show Theodore the Tugboat when I was 3 years old.
Okay.
That was that's where I got
my
tugboat.
Tugboat with the eyes.
Yeah. And they go on these little adventures on how to be a tugboat, and they all wear little hats and stuff like that. It's a great little kid show from 1996 or
there's
something like
theater
that.
The tugboat on one end of the spectrum, and then there's tires in the very end.
Yeah.
Sort of viewing pleasures that you can enjoy.
There you go. Who saw a Theodore the Tugboat and tires mention coming
in
the same show?
Would you ever watch an episode of Tires? You would not. It's just not.
You know what? If you told me, hey, check it out so you know what I'm talking about, maybe.
It is knowing you, it is not your sense of humor.
The minute you said Barstool, it's like, yeah, I'm out. I that's...
Sort of has that vibe. I just sort of, you know. But there is a scene where they do this cameo on Good Morning Westchester, I think, is where they're from, this small Pennsylvania city, and there's a local television show that's doing a morning show, and they go on there to promo their garage, and That scene in and of itself is pretty funny. I would just suggest watching that one scene. And if you don't laugh out loud, then...
All right, well, you'll have to send me that scene, so we'll have to go digging for it at this next break. You said the bar stool part. It's like, David Portnoy, I'm gonna maybe look the other way on that one there. But, I mean, I like, you know, who's the guy you said? Shane Gillis. I like him. He seemed pretty funny. He was funny at the ESPYs the other year. I did like that moment. It's like, yeah, I know I got her in the back from the WNBA. And everyone's like, yay. And she's like, no, that's my friend's wife. You guys know anything about the WNBA. That was...
There's a scene where there's this woman, because he's pretty the wise guy. He's always throwing out one-liners and humiliating people, and this one woman at a bar.
Yeah, he's kind of like the wisecracking guy at the bar, basically. That's kind of like the shtick that he does.
This last episode, he's at the bar, and he says something to this woman, and she just turns him and says, whatever, Shrek. And he's like, he has no comeback. He's just like, oh, God, that hurts. She does it again.
He could play Shrek in a real-life adaptation there for him.
So give me the rotation for the Giants next year. Spring training's done. We open up the season. Tugboat in there? You got Logan Webb, and I'll give you Landon Root.
I think Logan is locked in, obviously. No shock there. I'm going to throw Adrian Hauser back in the rotation next year as well. I assume he's going to get put back in the rotation at some point again this year. Like, because it's not fun seeing him scowl in these pressers when he wants to be in the rotation. I mean, not that we're all crying for Adrian Hauser right now, but he's pitching well enough over this last month, I believe, in the month of August, Dan. We were talking about the month that Logan Webb was having prior to his start last night. Adrian Hauser in four appearances this month in August, 16 innings. He's got a .55 ERA. Allowed one earned run in 16 and a third innings pitched as a bulk inning guy. And I have a hard time believing they're going to do that to him throughout the rest of the year. But at the same time, like, for who, for what? Like, if he comes in the second or the third versus the first, does it really matter? Wins don't matter the rest of the year. So I'm going to put him in the rotation, though. I got him earning the spot back. Yeah, I guess Landon Roop. Hey, Landon Roop's not pitched well. They've lost, I think, 17 of his last 19 starts.
I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah.
I'm giving you carte blanche. You don't have to use it. I mean,
right now, I'll put Blade Tidwell in the rotation.
Wow. We'll
see a little bit more from Blade Tidwell today. And again, that's not locked in. I'm very much penciling him into that rotation. I think he might be a guy who's better suited for late relief, but that pitch mix is so good that I kind of want to see what we can do in the starting rotation. That's all I got for you right now as far as internal candidates. Matt Wilkinson is not in my rotation for next year at this very moment in time, Saturday, August 22nd at 10:55 in the morning. Right now, Wilkinson is not my rotation, but that could change. You know, I have my arbitrary sheet of good game points here, Dan. If he has more points, then maybe he will, and the Giants will do absolutely nothing because, you know, my evaluations don't really matter in regards to their evaluations. Maybe our evaluations will sync up, but no, I see four guys right now who I am saying can be in the rotation. One of those guys is Logan Webb. The other guy is Adrian Hauser. The last two, there's hard maybes. And Landon Roop, I think, he's probably going to be in the rotation, but like I don't think he's set in stone in the rotation right now.
I would go Logan Webb, Wilkinson, simply because of his name, and then I would find three new guys. I don't want anything to do with anybody that sniffed that rotation this year. Let me ask you something about our guy Hauser. Why doesn't he not get an opportunity at the back end of the pen? You got nothing to lose. The dude has got straight gas. Why not give him the closing role?
Because he's a starter. That's why. He's going to tell you, I'm a starting pitcher. I came here to start games. I am not happy when I am not starting games. That is my intention. They signed him with the explicit, I believe, I don't want to say promise, but they signed him saying you are a starting pitcher. And that's, again, this you're not wrong in what you're saying. Like, I'm not saying, like, no, he would not be a good closer. The answer is simply he is a starting pitcher. And
the answer is he doesn't want to do it.
Yes. And if that means, okay, we're going to move you in the offseason, then I guess they're gonna move him in the offseason. And, you know, there are free agent starting pitchers out there they could look into. Sonny Gray, he's got a mutual option with the Red Sox if he's available.
Him from the Cardinals last year.
I can't believe Sonny Gray, 35, 36 years old, still pitching like this.
He's in the Cy Young conversation.
He's pitching really, really well this year.
He's 16-3.
Like, that's really cool seeing how Sonny Gray, the former A's ace, is still pitching well at his size and pitching as well as he has. I mean, a lot of teams have been sleeping on him. Kevin Gausman, hey, he's available. Go out and get him, only 5 years too late. Tarek Skubal, he's not going to come here. We already know where that's going to end up. Chris Bassett, no, don't want to do that again. Jack Flaherty, that could be a good five-star that we regret next August. Shane Bieber, take a flyer on him, see if there's anything juice left in his arm there. Kyle Freeland, see what he could do pitching
at nine. Not bad.
I don't know. I wonder if the Giants still have issues with Freeland after he got into that beef with, who was it?
Gilbert.
He
gave up a homer to Devers. That's who it was last year. And yelled at him rounding the bases.
And Gilbert got in his grill a little bit.
Yeah, so I don't know if that works
out
there.
They need an ace.
They need what?
They need an ace.
I guess we're just
going to
shade Logan Webb like that. All right.
He needs a co-ace.
Yeah, there you go. Nice back off there. Let's keep it. I want to ask a question about Rafi Devers on the other side. Why are we, like, why do we blame Rafi Devers for where the Giants are at right now? Or how much is it on Rafi Devers? Because, as you know, ever since the Giants acquired him, they're 92 and 125 or 126 now. But is it Rafi Devers' fault that the Giants are at where they're at? I want to throw that question out on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
I like the big fellas.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.